It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Tom Rutherford.
Over the weekend, an estimated 50 protesters, a part of Destiny Church-linked groups, stormed the Te Atatū Community Centre and Library, where a show discussing the science of rainbows was being performed to children by a drag king as a part of Auckland Pride festivities. These protests received mass condemnation over the protest not being peaceful, as protesters tried to force their way to the library section of the community centre, resulting in not only 30 young children and adults having to be barricaded away for their safety, but also resulted in a 16-year-old and her 20-year-old sister sustaining injuries while defending against those rallying. For our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Tom Rutherford, I spoke to him about this event, what the party's stances are on it, and the petition to have Destiny Church's charitable status revoked, which has received over 72,000 signatures. I also spoke to him about the resignation of Director General of Health, Dr. Diana Sarfati, as well as Prime Minister Christopher Luxon and Tourism Minister Louise Upston's $500,000 campaign enticing Australian tourists to visit New Zealand. But first, I started off by asking him about how the party reacted to the Te Atatū Community Centre and Library protests.
We respect the right to free speech and peaceful protest in New Zealand. However, the actions of the groups associated with Destiny Church during their protests at a children's event in Te Atatū, as you outlined on Saturday, definitely went beyond acceptable boundaries. The police are actively investigating the incident, and any individuals involved will be held accountable under the law. New Zealand is a country that thrives on its diversity, and it's vital that all our communities can express themselves safely and respectfully.
A petition has been released on change.org calling for Destiny Church to have its charitable status revoked due to the concerns many have on the group inciting hate crimes against the LGBTQI+ community, which as of this morning has received over 72,000 signatures. How is the government planning on addressing this petition? Is revoking Destiny Church's charitable status on the cards?
Yeah, I have seen that petition online, and I think you will have heard both early this year and late last year that the Finance Minister did make it clear that there may be some changes to the tax treatment of charities, of which a Destiny Church is one, including addressing loopholes. More will be said during this year's budget, so it would be inappropriate for me to say anything further at this time.
What ways are the government protecting the LGBTQI+ community amidst events such as these as Auckland starts to wrap up Pride festivities?
Yeah, we're supporting those communities, which are really important here in New Zealand, by ensuring that we allow our New Zealand police to undertake their investigation and for allowing them to have the freedom to do so and to hold any of those who were involved and broke the law accountable for their actions. That's the best way we can do it, give the power to the police to investigate. If anyone broke the law, then the police will do their job and take the necessary steps from there.
Moving on to our second topic, on Friday last week, we saw the resignation of Director General of Health, Dr. Diana Sarfati. This comes as other prominent health figures, such as Health New Zealand Chief Executive, Margie Upper, and Director of Public Health, Dr. Nicholas Jones, have also resigned from their positions in the past month. How much of a concern are these developments for the government?
Not a massive concern. Last week, when Ms. Sarfati did decide to step down, the Minister of Health acknowledged her time as both a Director General of Health and Chief Executive. Her time as the Director General of Health. She was permanently appointed to that role in November 2022, played a critical role as the government's Chief Health Advisor and Steward of New Zealand's public health system during the previous government's reforms. She had a distinguished career in health and is experienced and a respected leader. And over the past few years, she led the Ministry of Health during what has been an extremely challenging time with the previous government's reforms and their failed attempt to implement them. We really thank her and the others for their commitment to ensuring the health system delivers for New Zealanders and wish them the best for the future.
Do you believe these moves coincide with larger concerns about where the health sector is currently at?
Absolutely not. The new Minister of Health has been very clear that we need to ensure patients come first, that they can get seen and receive the healthcare treatment they deserve in a timely and efficient and safe manner. And we're relentlessly focused on ensuring that we can hit those targets and all our other health-related targets as well that we have set for ourselves.
For our final topic, recently Prime Minister Christopher Luxon and Tourism Minister Louise Upston announced a $500,000 tourism campaign to incentivise Australian tourism in Aotearoa. Why are specifically Australians being targeted with this campaign compared to other nationalities?
Yeah, a new campaign encouraging Australians to pick New Zealand for their next holiday gears up the industry for growth in 2025. More visitors mean more full tables at restaurants, more bookings for local accommodation, more jobs across the country, which is a win-win-win for everybody. This is the first investment for tourism boost, utilising $500,000 from the International Visitor Conservation and Tourism Levy, is because tourism is part of our government's economic growth focus, with domestic and international tourism expenditure at almost $38 billion and supporting nearly 200,000 jobs. That's why we are relentlessly focused this year on economic growth. And part of that, place tourism and our friends across the ditch, Australia, coming to visit us here in New Zealand.
Both the Labor Party and Green Party have criticised this campaign over concerns the campaign only looks at short-term tourism in the country as opposed to encouraging longer-term trips, as well as concerns over whether our tourism infrastructure is adequate enough. As we have seen cuts to the Department of Conservation in last year's budget, as well as infrastructure damage due to Cyclone Gabrielle still needing to be rectified in certain regions in the country, do you believe our infrastructure is up to scratch to be on par with this tourism campaign?
Absolutely, and we've got massive investment going into infrastructure across New Zealand. I think about my local patch in the Bay of Plenty. We've got two roads of national significance, State Highway 2 and State Highway 29 over the Kaimai Ranges. So we can chew gum and walk at the same time with investing in infrastructure and encouraging tourists to come to New Zealand. If we look back, tourist numbers at the moment are about 88% as of the 2019 levels from Australia. So this campaign is relentlessly focused on encouraging our neighbours to come and book and visit us here in New Zealand.
And do you believe this campaign will adequately incentivise long-term tourism?
I definitely think so. You've got to start somewhere, starting with our friends across the ditch in Australia, but we'll have more to say throughout the year about encouraging others from across the world to come and visit us here in New Zealand, to know that we're open for business, come and spend their hard-earned money here in our economy, so that we can help stimulate some economic growth and get us to be the best small world country nation in the world.
That was the National Party's Tom Rutherford on the Destiny Church-linked protests at the Te Aritu Community Centre and Library, the resignation of Director-General of Health, Dr. Diana Sarfati, and the government's $500,000 tourism campaign to push Australians to visit Aotearoa. We'll be right back.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Tom Rutherford.